Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Welcome to our show. I am Marty Wolf, your host for the Business Builder Show. Joining me in the studio today is our producer, Mr. Tom Jenkins. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, Marty?
And my sidekick and our friend, Mr. Kerry Carney, is on another special mission today. So we'll miss Kerry.
You might.
You have something to say about that.
No, I would definitely miss Kerry.
Yes, we will miss Kerry. So good luck today, Kerry, on your little trip. So another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments later in the show. Reminder, our show is for entrepreneurs, small business people, and professionals who seek excellence. We offer tips to help you build your business on the topics of technology, innovation, finance, leadership, personal development, and sales and marketing. We're working hard to earn your trust so we can be a valuable source of information to help you build your business and your career. Today, our special guest is Stephen Wessner. Stephen is the president of a company called Predictive ROI. And Stephen means it when he uses the term return on investment, or ROI. He works with you folks, meaning our audience of entrepreneurs and small business owners, and actually about this size. He works with smaller companies of $1 million to $30 million in revenue. He doesn't want to work with big companies, just like we don't. We would prefer to work with entrepreneurs and small business owners. He helps organizations increase web traffic, accelerate lead generation, and increase return on investment online by, wait to hear this, by 200 to 500% in 12 months or less. That's a wow. So get a pen and paper ready to take notes. But before we get to Stephen, Tom, I'd like to talk about something that is related to the season. Why not? Everybody else is. We might as well talk about something seasonal, right?
Okay.
And we're going to start with an article from Entrepreneur Magazine, and the title of the article is Making Gratitude Part of Your Company Culture. And
Gratitude,
yes. I like to change the word culture to vibe. I think that feels better. The culture thing seems so institutional.
Okay.
Let's think in terms of company vibe. This is really interesting. Thanksgiving provides an opportunity to reflect on all that we're grateful for. But for some companies, gratitude is not a once-a-year occasion, but it is a value embedded in their company culture.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. And the reason why I say that is because every November I avoid Facebook like the plague, because for every day in November, everybody decides, well, now's the time to be thankful. So I'm going to list what I'm thankful for every single day in November. What about March? Why can't you do that in March? Why can't you find gratitude every single day you're on the planet? Why does it only have to be in November?
Well, funny you're saying that, you know, because that's leading right into this. Did you read this script?
Well, no, that's what you had just said. It's not just a once-a-year occasion.
It isn't.
I love that.
And there are companies. And by the way, put it in the schedule for Thanksgiving, or not Thanksgiving, take that back, for March. You want to do something in March about gratitude? You're the producer. We'll do it.
Let's do that.
Okay, we'll do that. But in the meantime, going back to Entrepreneur Magazine, making gratitude part of your company culture or vibe, and they talk about a company called Bristol Mountain, which is a ski resort in upper New York State. And they began what they call the Snow Angel program last year. And what it's about is when guests or staff members witness someone performing an act of kindness, such as, and this relates to a ski resort, I guess, such as brushing the snow off their neighbor's car windshield in the parking lot, or helping a new skier up off the ground, which probably happens regularly, or giving up their spot in line, or picking up a lost pole, they are giving a snow angel. And it's a little translucent piece of plastic that I guess they hand to them as kind of an award.
Oh, okay.
And both staff and guests love this idea. And it really, it's not only nice for both staff and guests, but this is a business show, Tom, so we'll often talk about it's good for business. There's another company that they talk about making gratitude part of your company culture or vibe. It's a Seattle-based company called Brown Paper Tickets. I never heard of that, Tom.
Me either.
Brown Paper Tickets. Well, we are now making them famous. They're okay. Going worldwide on the Business Builder show. This is very interesting also. This company gives their employees what they call paid time on. What this means is that they can use their volunteer hours. They get up to 40 volunteer hours to use to volunteer, but they're paid for it. It's not extra. They get these hours. They're paid for it. Now, the gentleman who owns this company, his name is Steve Butcher, he believes their folks, their employees, when they're allowed to do this, they're simply better to work with. They're better employees. He feels they make better decisions on the job, and they're more empathetic to our customers. This makes sense, and this lines up with what you said, Thomas. If we think in terms of gratitude every day as employees, this is going to help our productivity. As a matter of fact, there's a person named Patricia Thompson who is an Atlanta-based corporate psychologist. She talks about reasons to create a culture of generosity in your business. Number one, it enhances mood. This makes sense, Tom.
Yep.
It enhances mood. And positive emotions can improve productivity and inspire innovation. Every company wants to improve productivity. Another reason you should consider creating a culture of generosity in your business, it encourages teamwork. It encourages employees to work collaboratively. And in the case of that ticket company, if I'm volunteering for something and I need help, I'll ask you to help me, Tom. I'll ask Carrie to help me.
Sure.
And then that we collaborate on that, then guess what that does? That helps us collaborate better in the workplace. Again, this makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, working together.
Working together for company effectiveness. Third point they talk about is employee retention. And this is big in the world today, in all businesses. Thompson says, this person, author says, Thompson says, more and more and the newest generation of employees are looking for more meaning from their work. Wait till you hear this one, Tom. A 2010 study by the Pew Research Center found 21% of millennials placed a higher priority on helping people in need, while only 15% placed priority on having a higher paying career. Let's pause for a minute.
That's actually refreshing.
Well, it's refreshing, isn't it? Yes, it is. It is refreshing. So, quote unquote, these are younger folks as a general statement, but you know what? I'm kind of sick and tired of this generation thing. You know, there are differences, but, you know, this would apply to a lot of different people. So these people, and yes, generally speaking, more younger people are much more interested in having a priority of helping each other and helping others. So this whole article, which is, again, from Entrepreneur Magazine, Making Gratitude Part of Your Company Culture, it's really all about productivity. Tom, I'm grateful we got through this segment. We'll be coming right back with our guest, Stephen Wesner. You're listening to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. We'll be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Our special guest today is Stephen Wesner. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing very, very well. And Marty, thanks for the invitation. It was very kind of you.
I'm honored you're here. And let me introduce Stephen. Stephen Wesner, after 20 years of research in both the academic world and the private sector, Stephen is the founder and CEO of a company called Predictive ROI. And the predictive ROI method helps affect real change for companies with $1 million to $30 million a year in revenue. The company's patent-pending process helps organizations significantly increase website traffic accelerate lead generation, and increase return on investment online by 200 to 500% in 12 months or less. That got my interest, Stephen. Stephen's digital marketing insights have been featured in national media such as Forbes, The Washington Post, Inc. Magazine, E-Commerce Times, and I've first heard of Stephen on Success Magazine. So, Stephen, welcome again to the Business Builder Show.
I'm grateful. It's an honor to be here with you.
I'm going to say your website right out of the gate. Make sure that I'm right. PredictiveROI.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
I would like people to log on there right now so they can follow along as we talk about an article and also a video that you have that you did with Darren Hardy about 8 money-draining website mistakes that could cost you sales. Why did you write that?
Well, interestingly, Darren and I spent, Darren's a good friend and a mentor of mine, and last November, actually, and he and I spent the day together in San Diego, and we went through kind of all of my content, you know, all of the intricacies of the method. And he said, "God darn it, this just doesn't make any sense." And I'm like, "What do you mean it doesn't make any sense?" And so this is a little bit of kind of a marketing sort of how-to message, you know, for your listeners as well. So I had all of this stuff, all of this data, and he's like, "What in the world does all of this mean?"
Mm.
And so, you know, we put it out on this huge whiteboard as we were sketching it out one day. He's like, wait a minute. And he could see what I couldn't, right? I mean, we're us as business owners, sometimes we're so close to our own stuff, right?
Yes.
And we miss what's right in front of us. And he says, wait a minute. He goes, there are like 8 or 9 or 10 things here. He goes, what you're really talking about is how you can identify how a business owner's website, how their website is essentially leaking money, cash right that's being sucked right out the door, right? And I said, yeah, that's really good.
Wow.
And so from there, really, the 8 money-draining mistakes were born. We took the original kind of 8 or 9, you know, whatever it was, and we really crystallized it down into this list, and it's been really great for clients.
Yes.
Because we've had a very precise kind of strategy to start right out of the gate.
And let's start right there. And good news is that our folks can listen to this and they can take action on this. So let's start with mistake number one in terms of draining website mistakes that you can avoid. Mistake number one you mentioned is no baselines or goals. So tell me about that.
Well, and you know, this might sound really simple and kind of fundamental, but I tell you that when we sit down with entrepreneurs, business owners, executives, what have you within an organization, and we start talking about how they're currently performing online, or the misnomer of, well, I don't market anything, I don't sell anything online, and then the pushback that I usually give to them is, oh, then fine, then just take down your website altogether. And then, you know, nobody wants to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that all of us are making mistakes promoting ourselves online, and we start looking at, you know, your baselines for traffic, we start asking those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, somebody doesn't know. I mean, I don't know how many unique visitors. What is a unique visitor versus even some people still today use the word hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the baseline for lead generation? I'm not really sure. What's the conversion rate between unique visitors into leads? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What's the conversion rate of leads then into actual sales or purchase orders or things that your sales team can follow up on or other stakeholders within your channels of distribution? Not really sure. What's the average conversion value of those leads that are generated offline or online? And then how does that sync up with revenue? Typically, when we start asking those questions, most business owners, even today, don't know. Now,
I don't
say that as a way to try to embarrass people. I bring that to the forefront so that people can think, well, geez, these are metrics, these are baselines I need to be paying attention to. And then from there, we put it in the SMART construct so we know exactly what it is that we're trying to accomplish before we even get started. And SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time sensitive.
Yes.
Anything that we're pursuing, whether it's online or offline, ought to fit within that framework.
Absolutely. Analytics are very, very important, and I fail there also. But that's what drives success, not how you feel or what you think. It's what really, you got to look at your numbers. Next thing I want to talk about in terms of some mistakes we might be making, and I love this philosophy of X, Y, Z. Tell me what that means, and let's go into that a little deeper, Stephen.
Okay, so that's, excuse me, that's money drainer number two, and that's the lack of distinction. And this is an exercise that that actually I learned from Darren when I attended his high performance forum that he puts on. Excellent program, fantastic. 2.5 days, oh my gosh, it was just incredible. But but anyway, so the XYZ exercise is answering three simple questions. And it really defines the uniqueness. I mean, you have a chance to have conversations with business owners every single day. And when you talk about, I'm sure, when you ask them, what makes you unique and different? How often do you hear the question of, oh, geez, I don't know, Marty, we're a commodity. I don't know what makes us special. We have tons of competitors and we're getting beat down on price.
Right.
Okay. And so a business owner needs to think with their team strategically about these three questions. If you can answer these three questions, you uncover your distinctiveness. And in the three questions are this: we do X for Y so they can Z. So here's what X is. X is the products and services. We do X. In our case, we do digital marketing. So we do X for Y, and Y is your customer profile. For us, it's for companies of $1 million to $30 million a year in sales. We have no interest in working with Fortune 500 companies. That's not our sweet spot. For Y, so Y is the customer profile. And then Z is the result outcome. That's the result that you're delivering, the financial, tangible result that you're delivering that gets people excited. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's 200 to 500% or more return on investment in 12 months or less, or it's 100% free. That's our Z. We do X for Y, so they can see. Anybody listening today, if they identify that, answer those questions, they will be well on their way to being distinct.
Stephen, shouldn't that be done before they really launch into any kind of social media campaign? Would that be your advice?
Amen. Absolutely, Marty, because that essentially creates the essence of the story, right? I mean, you know, mutual friends like Gary Vaynerchuk, I know that you know Gary, I know Gary. So Gary's, you know, kind of mantra or ethos out into the marketplace right now is we all need to be great storytellers. Well, if you haven't defined what your XYZ is, you have no story to tell. It's foundational. You've got to have the XYZ.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the way you put that together. So bounce rate, big topic. Explain to me what bounce rate is and why is it a mistake that we might be losing money on?
Okay, so first, real quick definition. So bounce rate means visitor comes to any content page within your website. Doesn't matter if it's your homepage, an article, blog post, doesn't matter. Okay, a visitor comes to any content page, they look at it, they hate it, they puke in a bucket, they immediately leave. That's defined as bounce.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, an unoptimized website has between 50 and 60% bounce rate, meaning all of that effort in PR, advertising, and social media, and PPC, and all of this stuff that we do every single day to try to recruit visitors and pull visitors, attract visitors into our site, between 50 and 60% of them immediately left.
Wow.
I mean, what if you owned a retail storefront, people came up to your door, opened the door, walked in, stepped in, looked, and then immediately left. You saw 60% of the people doing that every single day, you'd go bananas.
That would be depressing.
Right, absolutely. So that is what bounce rate is. And so think about that, right? You immediately drive down your opportunity to generate leads, convert those leads into sales when 60% of the people are leaving immediately.
Wow. And you have three suggestions that will help reduce the bounce rate. We only have about 30 seconds in this segment, but talk to me about number one. Place your XYZ message on the left side of your homepage. Explain that to me.
Well, and it needs to be above the fold. Only about 10%, between 5 to 10% of your visitors will actually scroll below the fold. So mobile devices and so forth are making that problem even worse. So like you said, you need to have that in the upper left. It needs to be in the left, but it needs to be above the fold so people see it. And when they see it, they know they're in the right spot, so they stick around, they click, and then bounce rate goes down.
There you go. We are speaking with Stephen Wessner, and his company is Predictive ROI. We will be right back after this short break.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. We are with Stephen Wessner, and his company is PredictiveROI.com. And, Stephen, I want to make sure you also wrote a couple of books. Make sure you can tell our audience the titles of those books.
Well, so the first book that I wrote is called The Small Business Owner's Handbook to Search Engine Optimization. I wanted to create something practical and tactical that anybody could read, sit down, and start optimizing their content pages. And one thing that's real important to note about this book, aside from the fact that it's easy to use, 15 steps, that type of stuff, is that I wrote it in August of 2009, and it is still just as relevant today.
Interesting.
As it was in 2009, and a little bit of a buzzkill, I wrote the process, the SEO process, 5 years before I ever wrote the book, and it still works today, because when Google changes its algorithm, and Darren asked me about this, you can see the video on our site, Darren Hardy, that Google does make changes to their algorithm, but they don't make changes to penalize small business owners. So if you pay attention to these best practices, you're going to still rank well. And then the second book is called Increase Online Sales Through Viral Social Networking. So if any of your listeners want to be able to increase traffic and conversions using social media, that would be a good tool for them.
What do you mean, should they want to? They absolutely want to. That's why they're listening to you right now.
Well, you know, I mean, I appreciate that, Marty, but the reality is that I'm a big fan of social, but it doesn't mean that social media is for everybody.
There you go.
And not everybody, even though you know the data is there to support how social media can affect traffic and conversion rates and so forth, you have to want to do it.
There you go.
Right? You can't just say, oh, I'm going to participate and then never do it. I mean, there's you have to take that initiative and build momentum.
Speaking of initiative, we were talking about bounce rate, and there's three ideas that you had, three simple steps. And the first one we talked about is place your XYZ message that we've talked about on the left side of your homepage. The other two other points are, number two is eliminate visual clutter on your content pages. Give me some feedback on that.
Okay, so a really good example is, you know, and I appreciate you mentioning at the beginning of the first segment, you know, predictiveroi.com. So if people go to predictiveroi.com and look at that, you know, absolutely, I'm sure that there's going to be some branding experts, design experts that are going to look at that and say, oh my gosh, there's five or six design things that maybe could be improved here. And then, you know what, they might be right. But design is subjective. We base our decisions on data. And our homepage has a 7.45% bounce rate. It's incredibly low. Which is great. That's what you want, a really low bounce rate, okay?
Instead of analytics.
10%. Exactly. And so there are a few core elements that are driving that. One, like you mentioned, the XYZ is there, is very clear to see. Second, no visual clutter, meaning the only things that are on that page are the things that need to be that lead to conversion. Typically, a small business site will have 8 or 9 or 10 different types of images, copy blocks, photos, you know, graphics, logos, all these different types of things that really, from a conversion perspective, add no value whatsoever. Harvard Business Review, March 2013, printed the results of an excellent study that showed that if you have more than three options, it's way too much choice. It's overwhelming for the consumer's mind.
Yes.
You shouldn't have that. Have three, not 15. Have three.
Yes.
So that's what I mean by eliminating visual clutter.
We've heard the phrase, a confused mind says no.
Well, amen. That's exactly correct.
Isn't that great?
They move on to something else.
Yes.
And they bounce.
Yes, they bounce. And the third point in terms of helping us with our bounce rate is present clear calls to action.
Exactly. Now, I know that that probably seems like a, you know, a no-brainer, but, you know, if you don't specifically tell your consumers or your visitors what action they need to take, they won't take any action. They'll just continue to browse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to make sure that you have maybe a step one, a step two, step three. This is how you engage with us. This is how you get the process started. Maybe opt in for this. You know, whatever the case may be, but you want to have three very specific calls to action. So, you know, three options, eliminate the visual clutter, and wrap a clear call to action around that.
And, Stephen, I think that a critical part of this, all of this, is you got to know your customer. What does your customer look like? And so you described that well. So tell me more about not knowing your customer as a mistake.
Well, and so we call that creating a client avatar. Lots of great books on this, and again, here's a lesson that I learned firsthand from the mentoring from Darren Hardy from Success Magazine. I think it's fantastic. And so, you know, we speak directly to, we call our client avatar, we call her Sally and Harry.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry and Sally, I like that movie, so those are the names that we chose. And so whenever we write something, whenever I write an article or do an interview, I'm assuming that Sally is listening. I'm paying attention to the words that I'm using, the statements that I'm making, so that when Sally interprets those, because I know that she is a customer or a client that's been burned before. She's hired digital marketing experts, and she's been burned before. She has trust issues. She's hired these people, and they've produced zero results. We've actually actually had Sally say to me, Stephen, I want to trust you. I want to believe that you can do what you say that you can do and that you can do it quickly. Back it up by data so I can believe that we're heading in the right direction.
I love that.
So I know Sally intimately well, and I know Harry intimately well. So anytime that we write anything or put out any sort of communication, it's as if we're speaking directly to Sally and directly to Harry, not 10,000 general audience people. It's specifically to Sally and Harry.
And so
most business owners make the mistake. They think they're talking to 10,000 people, and they're not. They're actually speaking to Harry and Sally.
Now, obviously, I do a lot of research. I see a lot of sites, and you call it maybe they have too much institution speak, and make sure that we drive home this point. And you talk about institution speak, but also making an emotional connection. Tell me more about that.
Well, us as, humans, we do business with people that we like. We do business with people that we feel a personal connection to. And look at some of the major brands, right? They were derived from or have a history from the original founder and maybe still have that namesake, the Walt Disney Company, and there's many others, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for us to really connect with consumers, let's not try to be this big corporate monolith, these huge, gigantic, or for a small business, try to make ourselves sound huge.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, let's be Marty.
Mm-hmm.
People want to connect with Marty. People want to know and understand Marty's background and be able to connect with him on a very personal level. And when you can do that and you get rid of this kind of corporate institution speak and you just speak like a person, you then open yourself up to the opportunity to connect with Harry and Sally in a much deeper, empathetic, and emotional level. And that leads to success as opposed to trying to sound like a huge global conglomerate, because that just turns people off.
I can see people listening to the show. All of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of Sally and Harry's floating around on the internet or wherever from listening. And if that happens, I'll be thrilled because we know that they listened. You know, right, Stephen?
Exactly.
Yeah. Calls to action. Very, very important, because ultimately you want to look at your analytics because you want to drive sales. We've got about a minute left. How to avoid being ambiguous in your calls to action?
Well, so a friend of mine, his name is Dr. Flint McLaughlin, and he's a director of a company called Mech Labs and then Marketing Experiments. So your listeners can go to marketingexperiments.com. Free webinars. I think Flint does them, a couple of times a month. They're awesome. And he has this one saying that I think is fantastic, and that is this: clarity will always trump persuasion. And so, we as business owners, we try to create these kind of really persuasive and intricate and sometimes esoteric calls to action and being cute and teasing and that kind of stuff. Forget it. Be
yes.
clear about what you're asking your customers and visitors to do, because clarity will always trump persuasion.
With that, Stephen, we're going to have clarity because we need to wrap up.
Okay.
I've been speaking with Stephen Wessner. His company is PredictiveROI.com. Stephen, thank you so much for being on the Business Builder Show.
Marty, thanks again for the invitation. I enjoyed being here.
Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Tom, let's go to our commentary by Dr. Tony Massari.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about simplicity. Stephen Wessner knows digital marketing. He spends most of his time helping small businesses craft and improve their websites. These are a few of the things I learned from Stephen Wessner during his conversation with Marty. Improve your perspective by getting another set of eyes to look at what you are doing. Establish baselines and goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-sensitive. Make sure you know how you are different. To use social media effectively, you must eliminate clutter and have a clear-cut call to action. Know who your customer is and pay attention to the words you use when you are talking with your customer. Replace the jargon of institutional speak with the plain talk of human speak. Be clear about what you want the customer to do and make it easy for the customer to do it. Too many available choices often result in no choices. Great art might always be ambiguous. Success in sales is never ambiguous. Know who you are and what you are doing. Write clearly, talk candidly, make a genuine human connection, and you will succeed. Stephen Westner is a man of discipline, patience, precision, priorities, research, and thought. For him, it's all about quality, not quantity. It's what's in the mix, not the size of the pile that counts. And that's an insight into America at its best. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Thank you, Tony. Another great commentary. Tom, I really love Stephen Westner's interview. Really packed with information. As we try to do, we try to link the show together. And here's what we're going to do in the last segment. And we're going to talk about an article that Stephen did called Distinction, Make It Your Secret Weapon in 2014. You know, we hear a lot about the rapidly shifting attention spans of customers and how important it is to use an ambitious mix of social media platforms to capture their attention. Social media beats us over the head. But this intense focus sometimes, Tom, is a fundamental mistake. Stephen explain. The mistake happens, Tom, when we overlook or fail to clearly define all of the distinctively awesome things that we do. For instance, how do we improve the lives of our customers? How do we bring value? How do we deliver exceptional customer experiences every day? Now, in his article, Stephen says, somebody might say, but Stephen, there isn't anything distinctive about what I do. And Stephen challenges us. He says, if there wasn't something truly distinctive and different about what you do,
you wouldn't have a business.
It's that simple. You are doing something distinctive because someone is buying something from you. And there's reasons for that. So let's continue on. So whether your business is thriving or stuck in a steady plateau or it's going down, here's Stephen's suggestion, and I'm going to go along with this. Please take a pause from crafting that Twitter strategy or mastering Instagram or shooting those Vine videos that you've been thinking about. You will make 2014 your best year ever if you focus on defining and creating what Stephen calls distinction for your business. And also, one of our past guests, Scott McCain, he wrote the book Distinction. And actually, Stephen refers to this, and this is where I want to go. Scott McCain was on the show in June. I think it was June 29th, Tom, of this past year. So if anybody likes to go back to the Business Builders Global website and find the show on Scott McCain to hear Scott's viewpoints. But back to Stephen Westner's article, and again, the title of the article is Distinction, Make It Your Secret Weapon in 2014. Scott McCain's four cornerstones of distinction. Number one is clarity. Distinctive businesses are crystal clear about what makes them unique. Here's an interesting comment. You cannot differentiate what you cannot define. I like that. Powerful, clear. The Business Builder Show is a radio show bringing the business classroom to you, our audience of entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. That's what we're all about.
That's the definition.
We know what differentiates us. That's what we're all about. Now, if you're a local hardware store, that clarity might be, we're here when you need us.
Uh-huh.
You can't, even as fast as Amazon is getting it to you now, same day, it still can't beat driving down to Joe's Hardware Store in Seattle and picking up that new wrench, hammer, tool, whatever. Clarity. Four cornerstones of distinction. Number one, clarity. Number two, creativity. To be distinctive, you don't have to do everything creatively. We get hung up in this creative stuff, Tom. I'll use the word stuff again, and you're laughing.
Being in advertising, I write a lot of radio commercials, and that word is thrown around willy-nilly.
Yeah, we try to do too much.
Yeah.
Almost everybody does. But here's the point with creativity. The example is Enterprise Rent-A-Car. What do they do that's distinctive and creative? They pick you up.
Right.
They became the number one car rental company probably in the world, I guess, because that was both distinctive and creative. Now, if you're a plumber in Madison, Wisconsin, what I think would be creative is be on time.
And pull up your pants.
And pull up your pants. So there you go. So there's number two. Number three, in terms of Cornerstones of Distinction, article by Stephen Wessner from Scott McCain's book, is communication. Customers and prospects truly desire information, but they want it in a story form. Now, story form, let's go back to the first part of the show, Tom, Bristol Mountain.
Okay.
They were talking about giving angels out to people who helped others out. What a story to tell on your website. How creative. How about the other company, Brown Paper Tickets? What a story to tell your potential customers that you're paying people to have volunteer time. Wow. Fourth one is customer experience focus. Now, customer experience is the important word, and focused on customer retention. Now, if you want a real customer experience in terms of retaining people, if you're a small business, write handwritten notes to people. Write handwritten notes. If you're a big business, use or get an easy-to-use loyalty program. Here's the real crux of Stephen Wessner's article. It's to connect all of this offline before you put it online. These are strategic things that you have to figure out before you start tweeting, Facebooking, Instagramming. You get the idea. You've got to get these things nailed down. So Stephen Wessner, our guest, was a great guest, and Scott McCain's book is Distinction. So time to wrap up, Tom. Thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. Thank you, Stephen Wessner, for being our special guest. To learn more about the great work Stephen is doing, go to predictiveroi.com. You will find all kinds of great stuff there. Great work, great company, doing some great things. Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support here in the studio.
Very grateful to be a part of it, Marty. Thanks.
You are so needed when I'm flying somewhat solo without my sidekick. I need you to connect me. And as always, thank you, Dr. Tony Massari, for your great commentary. Next week, our special guest will be my good friend, Lieutenant Colonel retired Rob Waldo Waldman. Waldo is known as the Wingman, and he travels worldwide teaching associations and corporations how to build trusting, revenue-producing relationships with their employees, partners, and customers. And he will be on the Business Builder Show next week. Don't miss this one. A reminder, you can find all our shows archived on our show website, which is businessbuildersglobal.com. That's businessbuildersglobal.com. We do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. We look forward to being with you next week on the Business Builder Show with me, Marty Wolf. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf